season. As we draw close to 2020, everyone seems kind of ready to let her go, right? 2020 seems to be kind of the year of whining and complaining and difficulty. In fact, we found some ornaments that reflect that a little bit. 2020, we gave some of these out as Christmas ornaments. Travel bans, what's your temp, stay home, curbside pickup, flatten the curve, FaceTime, YouTube, Zoom, wash those hands, clean and organize, those kind of things. What day is it? Some things like that. And then there's another one, face masks, no sports, the great toilet paper shortage, social distancing, e-learning, the year of quarantine. So some of us are familiar with that experience this year. I thought about if 007 was James Bond's license to kill, then 2020 has certainly been our license to whine and gripe and complain. In fact, I was reading the singer Pink was running downstairs on Sunday, looking forward to seeing the Christmas star with her son, when she fell and broke her ankle, and then realized that the Christmas star wasn't even coming that day. But she made comment that this has kind of been her bad year, and it just kind of the 2020 year. She was recovering from COVID. She had stitches from breaking a wine glass. She had staph infection in her right knee. And she said after this that maybe she was going to climb into a raw chicken and see if she can get salmonella. And then she said, as if surviving COVID wasn't enough for this poop sandwich of a year. So some of us maybe feel that way and have experienced that type of year. While COVID has blessed us with a lot of complaining in 2020, it just occurred to me that I think we've always done a pretty good job without it. It's just it gave us a little more ammunition this year than we normally have. We haven't always needed a COVID lockdown to get us to whine and complain. Sometimes we can whine and complain at the greatest of events. And I like this cartoon, the birth of Jesus, and the neighbors come over and say, "Look, buddy, we live next door, and all night long we've been putting up with the singing angels, the crying baby, the stinking frankincense, and that big bright star. But I tell you, that pa-rum-pa-bum-bum, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum has got to go." So it doesn't matter where we are, we can be experiencing the greatest human experience of all time and find something to complain about or find something annoying with that experience. Paul wrote from jail, and I was thinking about his experiences. He sat in jail. He didn't have food regularly delivered to him. He didn't enjoy blankets and clothing things. He didn't have good HVAC or cable TV. He wasn't able to FaceTime with his friends. He wasn't having Zoom meetings or binge watching, no YouTube or Netflix. And yet he was locked down. And he says in Philippians 4:4, in the midst of all that terribleness, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." And I wonder, how do you do that? This has certainly been a year in which finding joy has been a challenge. But is it a challenge we've met or one that has defeated us? There's a scripture, and I mentioned, I think, a couple weeks ago, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may proud that I not run in vain or labor in vain." You know, this idea that Paul, again, in Philippians, writing from jail, writing "Rejoice Always," says, "Do all things without grumbling or complaining." You know, and it just occurred to me, if you want to shine, you gotta stop whining, right? And so I wanted to kind of talk about that this morning, is how do you go about doing that? My plan is to do this. I want to talk for a few minutes about that. And I thought at the end I'm going to give us some time to share as well. We got a microphone we can pass around here. I was going to ask Jason if you would in a little bit, if you want to run around and take the microphone to everybody that wants to share. I guess out of COVID consideration, if you can hold the microphone and then I'll hold it, that might be a little bit better to not pass around germs as much. Anyway, so I'd like to kind of hear some of your thoughts this morning, so I'm kind of counting on you for part of class this morning. But how do we not whine? How do we not grumble? How do we not gripe? How do we, you know, he says, do all things without grumbling and disputing, but I think it'd be easy for us to say, yeah, Paul, it's easy for you to say, but you don't know my situation. You don't know, Paul doesn't know Pink's situation, right? I mean, maybe his situation, maybe he was able to do that, but how do we do that? Is that reasonable? Is it possible? How do you go about living life without grumbling, complaining, disputing, crying, and all those type of things? One of the great things I think about this is, and I try to emphasize a lot of his way, you know, we don't necessarily get to choose our circumstances very often, but we certainly always get to choose our attitude about our circumstance. That's one of our freedoms. That's one of our blessings. That's one of the opportunities. You can do things to me, but it doesn't have to impact how I think and how I feel. That's something I get to choose. In fact, I get pretty wound up. If you want to wind me up and kind of push my buttons, tell me all about how everyone's made your life miserable, and I'll usually have something to say. And how everyone made me this and made me that, and blah, 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 blah. And I share this with you. I have my AA book. My first AA book I was ever given was from Richard Gregg when he initially introduced me to AA, and we went to meetings together and started the Bridge Group. And he wrote in the front of this something that I've cherished. And it's a little poem, and I wanted to share it with you. I think I have it up here. Yeah. It says, one ship sails east, another west. Both sail on the self-same blow. It's not the gales, but the set of the sails that bids them where they go. And so it is in our lives. And I love that perspective. You know, it's an amazing thing if you think about sailing, right? The wind's always blowing the same way, and sailboats can be going completely opposite directions and get to completely different destinations while the wind's blowing exactly the same way. And how do you do that? Well, you set your sail. And in nautical terms, that's called setting the attitude of the sail. The thing we get to do, we can't control the wind. We can't control the set of the sail. And so it's that control, that set of the sail, that's going to determine our destinations. And whether we end up in whining and complaining or rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, won't be based upon the wind, it will be based upon the set of the sail. And so I want to think about that for a second and what this idea of our attitudes and what Scripture encourages us to do regarding that. I was listening yesterday to an interview with Condoleezza Rice, who is the first African-American female Secretary of State. And at the time she was Secretary of State, I was reading that it was the first time in American history that two African-Americans sat in as close a proximity to leadership before Barack Obama became president. And her and Colin Powell were the two. But Condoleezza Rice was born in 1954 and grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. Of course, she's black. She grew up at a time in which she made the comment that though she could not eat a hamburger at Woolworths, she could do all kinds of other things. And that's kind of the attitude her family had, you know, and that she was able to go on, and she went to the University of Denver, she went to Stanford, she went to, was offered things at Harvard and all those kind of things, became a great musical talent, as well as obviously Secretary of State, was also National Security Advisor, and went on to a lot of great successes, was the Provost at Stanford and now professor at Stanford. But she grew up in difficult times for most African Americans in Birmingham, Alabama in the 50s and 60s. And her parents told her one thing that they would reiterate to her over and over again. They never let her whine and complain about those facts, but they said, it's just going to take twice as hard for you to succeed as it is everybody else. She's going to have to dig in. And she's always taken that seriously. And she always set her attitude. She's never griped or complained, and she's experienced great success in her life because she decided what she was going to be and what she was going to do. While there's many certainly who will use their upbringing as a reason and excuse, some people use it as an opportunity. And I think that becomes the attitude by which we set our sail. A lot of us even are in families where growing up in the very same family, right? One person can go one direction, one person go completely the opposite direction. And we could blame our parents, we could blame our environment, but the reality is we both had about the same one. But we decided to do something different with it. And because of that, our destination became different because of the way we set our sail, not because of the wind. And so I think I want to think about, you know, the one thing we get to choose in this world every day is our attitude. How do we see it? What's our perception? How do we view the things that are happening to us? And I think that's critical, and this year has certainly been a challenge in that regard. But my experience is about every year has been a challenge for me in that regard, and it doesn't take COVID to challenge my attitude. It just gives COVID just gives me another reason, another excuse to go about redefining or kind of galvanizing my attitudes. So I want us to think about that, and I have a couple scriptures I want us to look at. So as you think about the idea of attitude, setting our attitudes, and as Christians, the one thing I think is really critically important in understanding our faith is that the definition of our lives is grace, right? That because of the grace of God, because of the grace that He extends through Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to have the lives we have, to have salvation, to have all that God's blessed us with is by His grace. And so I want us to think about that for a second, because everything we do as a Christian is founded upon the fact that we've received something from God. We give because we've been given. We forgive because we've been forgiven. We love because we've been loved. We bless because we've been blessed. It's all driven by grace. Does that make sense? For by grace we're saved by faith, not of ourselves, not as a gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast, right? None of us have achieved this by our own doing. We have experienced it because of the grace and generosity of God. So that's foundational to our faith. And so if you think about it this way, that in a sense grace is God's wind blowing, then the question is, are we going to set our attitudes to capture that? And interestingly, if you put those two words together, you end up with the word gratitude, right? That if we set our attitude to capture grace, we end up with gratitude because we're always operating out of this overwhelming blessing that we've received from God. And so I want us to think about that today and how critically important it is to live out the Christian life is driven, its foundation is gratitude, thanksgiving, thankfulness. It's foundational to everything in Christianity. Because we've received a relationship by grace, we posture ourselves with that attitude, and it's grace then that drives us to the places that God would take us. In fact, I would say if you set your attitude to receive God's grace, you'll probably end up where God wants you to be because the wind's blowing that direction by in the kingdom of God. And so that becomes the challenge for all of us is how do we keep our attitude grateful. There's a passage in Colossians 3 when Paul talks there about putting off the old self and putting on the new self, putting on this Christian life that we're supposed to embrace by grace. He then says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Notice that, right? If you have a complaint against somebody, it doesn't mean that somebody hasn't done something to harm you. What are you to do? You're to forgive them. Why? Because God has forgiven you, right? Because you've received grace, you extend grace. So you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now, what follows that, I think, is interesting because there's the next three verses all interestingly talk about the Christian life driven by gratitude. So I want you to notice these three verses. It says in verse 15, and let the peace of Christ, so he said all that, now let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. So it's interesting that what he does is our attitudes are to be ones in which we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We let his shalom, his peace, his wholeness, his completeness rule and dominate the hearts of our lives. And he says, be grateful, be thankful. So our attitude is one of gratitude. Our attitude is always of thanksgiving, filled with peace, and that our attitudes are always grateful. Then the second thing he says is in verse 16, also he says, he adds to that, so let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, let the word of Christ dwell in you. So also the word of Christ, the teaching of Jesus, the word of God needs to dwell in us richly. In other words, not sparsely, right? It needs to dwell in us richly. It needs to be the fullness of our lives, not just a little corner of our lives or just a little piece of our lives, but the fullness of the word of Christ to dwell in us, and that we teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with what? Thankfulness in our hearts to God. So again, in our admonishments, in other words, the things that we proclaim, the things that we declare, it should also be always filled with thanksgiving, always filled with gratitude. The teaching of Jesus in us, our teaching out, our admonishments out, our singing, our praise, everything that flows out of us should always be driven by gratitude, by thanksgiving. That's what the Christian life looks like. When we put on the new self, when we put on this new life, it means that our attitudes are filled with thanksgiving, our admonishments, our expressions are filled with gratitude. And lastly, in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So in all your actions, it's with gratitude. It's with thanksgiving. So whether it's my attitudes, whether it's my expressions and admonitions to others, or whether it's my actions that I practice, everything is layered and filled and full of gratitude. Does that make sense? Everything. If you're going to put on Christ, gratitude is the fundamental thing that drives every aspect of the Christian life. There's no place in the Christian life where I don't have to be thankful. That's just, it's like whatever you do, whether you're eating and you're grateful and saying grace over your food, whether you're grateful for the difficulties and struggles of your life, whether you're grateful for the blessings that have come, whether you're grateful for the roof over your head, or whether you're grateful for the great vast skies that are over your head, either way, gratitude is foundational to everything we are and do. There's nothing you get to do that isn't filled with gratitude. I don't care. Brushing your teeth, going to the emergency room, gratitude. Funeral homes, bedrooms, offices, whether they're in your house or somewhere else, gratitude. Whether it's around the coffee pot, gratitude. It's everything that defines our lives is because of God's grace and our posturing and receiving his grace. Gratitude becomes the driving and fulfilling force of every aspect of our lives. So I want us to grasp that idea. In 1 Thessalonians 5, beautifully, Paul gives us God's will for us. And I know many of you have heard this, but you know, a lot of times people ask the question, what's the purpose of my life? What's God's will? What's God trying to do? What's he trying to accomplish in my life? And so often we're trying to find that in the circumstances instead of in the attitudes that God wants us to have within our circumstances. And what he begins to point us to is that circumstances is not too concerned about. Who we are in those circumstances really is his will. And so often when we're asking the question, you know, should I be a doctor or a lawyer kind of questions, or should I live in Huntsville or live in Chicago or whatever, should I marry her or him or whatever kind of things, the real question is, will I have the attitudes that will fulfill the will of God? So in a sense, what this is going to tell us is this: God's grace is blowing. You want to end up at his destination, you want to end up as his purpose, you want to end up at his goal for your life, then set your sail with these three decisions, and you'll go where God wants you to go, unquestionably. So the first one is, verse 16, rejoice always. So just make sure that whatever you're doing, you're always joyful. Just make sure that is always foundational to everything that we're doing is joy, is that we're going to rejoice always, that we are going to always be grateful. I mean, it's, you know, it just struck me. Is there a circumstance where I'm not supposed to be joyful? And I think Paul's answer is no. There's never a circumstance where that's not the case. We are to rejoice always. Now, sometimes rejoicing may look different than other times. I got that. But rejoicing always, he says, will take me to where God's destination is for me. Okay? So rejoice always. Second one is pray continually. So there's also never a circumstance where praying isn't the best first response. You want to be a first responder? Pray. That's the best first response. Unfortunately, most of us come up with prayer as our last-ditch effort. When all efforts on our end have been expended, and we go, oh, crud, this is way beyond me. I got to depend upon someone else now. I pray. And Paul goes, no. Our first response is prayer. It's always prayer. Prayer is always our response. It's continual. It never stops. It's endless. It's ceaseless. I've tried to develop that mindset in my life where kind of the idea that, because so often I think we pray like we're kind of calling God on the phone, right? And so we kind of, you know, our prayer begins with kind of dialing his number, right? We got to kind of dial and hope he answers. And then we kind of tell him what we're concerned about. And at some point we say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, and we hang up. Right? Kind of what we do, right? And so what I've tried to keep in mind is a sense that when I start the day, I dial up, and then I never hang up. You just don't ever hang up. So then, or I'm always talking to God about the things in my life. I don't have to redial the number again, right? We're always locked in at that point. And that whether I say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen or not, doesn't mean the conversation ended, right? It means we continue in conversation. I've tried to, as a habit, when I'm alone, and I don't typically like to turn on the radio. I try to spend that time praying, particularly when I'm traveling places, because when you're transitioning from one place to the next place, it gives you an opportunity to kind of set your heart in between those times, whether it's, you know, leaving work and coming home, or going from home to work, or going from to the grocery store, or going wherever. It kind of gives me that time in the car to set my attitude. I was when I first started thinking about that, lived in Denver years ago, and I started praying. And one of the things was I looked forward to getting in the car because I was going to pray during that time. And so I would pray sometimes people would assume that I was singing in the car doing something, because I was very adamantly praying while I was driving. In fact, so much so, there was one time when I was driving down Colorado Boulevard in Denver, which was Colorado Boulevard, kind of like driving down University, I guess, except about twice as wide as University. And I was just flying down that road, praying desperately, and I ran flat through a stoplight. I mean, just went right through the stop. I mean, it wasn't like it just turned. It was like it had been turned, and I just went right through it and almost rear-ended a police officer. And I never got a ticket, which just tells you that praying can work. No, I'm just, you need to pay attention. I'm not saying don't pay attention. And certainly, it breaks the habit of closing your eyes when you pray, if you do it when you're driving. But at least I hope it does. I wouldn't recommend it otherwise. But just that idea of praying all the time, it doesn't matter what circumstance I'm in or what I'm in, prayer becomes the obvious best response. If somebody asks you a question, you go, oh, I don't have any idea. Let's pray. You know? It's like, that should be the response, right? And so praying continually is a part of God's will for us. And the third one is being thankful always. Being grateful always. In every circumstance, be grateful. And it's Paul says that those three things mean that I will be captured by the grace of God and driven to God's purpose and plan for my life. And so those are great things that I know I can do. I can rejoice always. I may choose not to. I can rejoice always. I can pray all the time, and I can be thankful all the time, right? I mean, no one can take one of those three away from me, correct? I can do all those things in every circumstance. Therefore, God's purpose and plan can be captured in my life, and he can take me where he wants me to be. So I think that's God's will for us. So I wanted to take a few minutes and kind of ask this question. What gratitude do you have to God as we draw to the end of 2020? So, Jace, if you want to grab the microphone, and I'd just be interested in some of us sharing. I think I turned it on. Keep that in mind. If you want to come up to this microphone, it'd be great, too. If you want to come up here, that'd be great. If you want to do it from your seat, just say your name and share. And also, I think I had put up there my phone number. So if you want to call me, if you're online and you want to call or you want to text me, just make sure you put your name on it, and I'll be glad to read what you have to say about what you're grateful for in 2020, okay? So hands or calls or texts or whatever. What do we got? Got a hand over here.
Hello. Hey, I'm Chris. The thing I'm most grateful for in 2020 is just that, really, that God's put people in my life that have really made a huge difference. It's especially the last probably month has been one of the really biggest life-changing experiences of my life, in a good way. So that's what I've got.
Good, good. Thanks, Chris. Anyone else? Hands.
Yes, I'm Travis. I'm thankful for God saving me and just helping me through my struggles, and just laying his heart and love inside me, and I'm real thankful for that.
Amen. That's good. Anything else? People, I got 15 more minutes now for class. It's all yours. Arzell? Let me wait till you get a microphone.
One thing I'm so thankful for is what God has put in people in my life. You know, in spite of my shortcomings, I'm just so thankful, you know, because, you know, of my trials and tribulations and the things I've been through, no complaints. But I'm just so thankful, you know, for the people he didn't put in my life. And one thing else is God's presence, you know, in my life. I'm so thankful for that. And that's what I have.
All right. Thanks, Arzell. I have a text from Jim Phillips. We got a hand over here, way over on the right over here, Jason. Jim Phillips says, my grandson, Adriel Emmett Phillips, our family's health, and our central family. And Greg Edmonds, I'm grateful for sobriety, the wonderful people in my life, my family, home, job, car, most importantly, my relationship with Jesus Christ.
I'm thankful for God's
intention. Can you give me your name?
I go by Humble, commonly known as Humble, Alicia Holman.
Okay.
I'm thankful for God's intention. It's just good to know that the will is written and everything that he has planned for us is already planned. So I'm just thankful for that, and I'm thankful for every test because I know even in fails and losses, I have a win because I have him. So I'm just thankful for that.
Amen. Thank you. I have one from had one from Tracy Phillips, who is thankful that Arzell was at Central this morning. And also from Lindsay Bell, I'm grateful for many things in 2020, but I'm especially thankful for the extra time we were able to spend with our girls during quarantine. That time was given to us by the Lord, and I'm so thankful. That's a great attitude. Thank you, Lindsay.
I'm Robert. I'm grateful for a lot of people who did a lot of work behind the scenes with the AV and the video recording. You know, we had a building, a tree fall in our building also within the last 16 months. And yet, there was really no disruption. And a lot of people put a lot of effort in just so we can continue to broadcast. We could not have done this 15 years ago.
All right. That's right. Amen. That's good. Others? Michaela Ryan said, thankful for reconciliation, growth in my relationships with people I love in the midst of a quarantine isolation. Who would have thought? So that's cool. God takes what Satan tries to do and turns it on its head.
My name's Zach. I'm just grateful for the perspective God's given me.
Okay. Thank you. Perspective. And a new hairdo. All right. Stacy Condren says, I'm grateful for God helping me to be fully dependent on him through this year. Also for the health and well-being of my family, friends, my sister, and brothers at Central.
This year with all the...
Selwyn Reynolds.
Oh, Selwyn Reynolds, yes. Not just with the pandemic, but all the unrest and chaos that's been going on. It has given me an opportunity to have some conversations with my niece, who I haven't always had that opportunity to talk to her. So just that opportunity to be closer to her, this has brought that about. So I'm grateful.
Okay. Amen. Claudia Ford says, I'm thankful for being able to stay home, to slow down after going nonstop for so many years. I'm also thankful for grandchild number 18, Reed Ford, born in 2020. So, Claudia. Jonathan has one.
I'm grateful for the guys with Heathrow and the family of my church. And I'm grateful for my dad and my mom. And I am grateful that Tom Winters for preaching for our class. And I'm really grateful that I'm really grateful to all the elementary and all these people. I have to know that I must keep praying. I want so thank you.
I'm grateful for Jonathan. He came up to me today and was excited that one of his new brothers was here at church. He was just referring another guy at his way. So I appreciate the fact that he always includes them all in his family. It's great. Carol Kuhn says, I'm grateful for my family and how God has blessed us with so many people to love. That's great. People to love. Not people that love me, but people that I get to love. Anyone else? Oh, Rondell, way over here. Come on, Jason, you can do it.
Excuse me, guys. My name's Rondell Crittenden. I'm one of the elders here, and I am thankful for all the chaos that has happened in the world because what it shows me and what it shows me is that I'm part of a special family here at Central. And because of our love for one another, because of the grace and the mercy that God has extended to each and every one of us, we can look at the world and know that we have something special here. Not just because we gather, not just because we teach, not just because we outreach to people, but because we truly love one another, because of the blood of Christ that has united us through his death, his burial, and resurrection. And that's greater than anything that I've ever known. And I pray that as we enter a new year, that we can teach that message of the cross, that it overshadows money, it overshadows where people live, it overshadows the differences that people have among themselves. God loves us because he created us, and he wants us to have an opportunity to share that love wherever we go with other people. And as an elder here, I'm just so thankful that God has given me that opportunity to be able to share with people that I love and pray for and am thankful for every day. Thank you.
All right, anyone else? I have one from Zoe Edmonds, who is Greg Edmonds' daughter, says she is grateful for her family and having a roof over her head.
I am Pat, and I think I'm just mainly thankful that God's the one in control, because we try so much to mess it up, but he is always the one that prevails, and I'm very thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Also have one from Jocelyn James Edmonds, who said she's grateful for her salvation and for God's discernment in her life. Anyone else? Oh, we got one over here. While you're getting there, got one from Drew Wright. I'm grateful and looking forward to the baby boom happening in our Central family. How much is that related to COVID? Todd?
I'm Todd. I just wanted to despite the pandemic, this has been one of the most overwhelmingly changing years involving my life. I'm just overwhelmingly grateful for His Way, the people associated with His Way, Saving Way Thrift Store, the family here at the Central. Like I said, despite the pandemic, despite everything that's been going on, I can't get over the overwhelming change that's come about in my life since I came into the program January 21st. And I'm very grateful for this change, although I still have difficulty, and some days it's just put one foot in front of the other, but I've got people supporting me now, and I'm very grateful for that.
Amen. That's good. Others? All right, I got some over here.
It's a sense of feeling with me. I get up in the morning usually and raise the eastern shade when the sun comes in, or at least the light. I repeat the psalm, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And it's not any one thing with me. It's just where I am, what I've been privileged to have, and just on and on. But it's just lost my word, but it's just a sense of the greatness of God around and his goodness in dealing with his people.
Thank you. Amen. I think we got Ed Goat over here, too. But before we get there, I got a couple more. It says, Ditto says, thank God for our military, EMTs, cops, AT&T repairmen, and more. Amen there. And Janice Greenleaf says, I'm thankful for the way 2020 has rearranged our normal and God has provided in spite of its craziness. I'm thankful for his provision and the reminder he is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Our times are indeed in his hands. Janice Greenleaf.
I'm Ed. Of course, we're always trying to figure out what is it that makes Jonathan so special. So I wanted to share a thing Melinda said the other day I thought was really profound. She said, Jonathan sees himself as he sees himself. For example, if he's watching wrestling, he sees himself as a pro wrestler. And the rest of us, we see ourselves as we think other people see us. And somehow that's a real profound thing. I don't know how he does that, but he does.
Amen. Good insight. So Brenda Newman says, my mom wants to say she is thankful for being able to watch church service at Central on YouTube this year since her home church was unavailable on Facebook, and she's not on Facebook. So it was available on Facebook, but she's not on Facebook. So we have one Christian up in Michigan worshiping with us every Sunday. Okay. Another?
I'm David. One of the things that's just completely blown me away is you start thinking about the fact that God chose to intervene for us, and that it was, I know there's a verse in Isaiah, he said he looked and was displeased that there was no justice, and he saw there was no one, he was appalled that there was no one to intervene, so his own arm achieved salvation for us, and his own righteousness sustained him. And so God chose to be the one to save us, and there's no one else that could. And he did that before we were ever any even a thought in the world. And he's done this from the very beginning. He planned all that. I'm just incredibly blown away by that and grateful to him for his amazing gift to us.
Amen. Anyone else? We're about out of time. I got one other that I almost confused this one, but because we're having a thing at our house Thursday night, so I did get through all these text messages. I got that the Ogles are bringing potatoes. I didn't share that one. So, but anyway, so I'm thankful for the Ogles bringing potatoes. Thank you. Let me also, there was a prayer, I didn't get the name, but it said, please pray for Mr. Ed's wife. She's been in the hospital since past Monday with staph infection. Thank you. Do we know, I don't know who sent that. Anyway, we'll pray for Mr. Ed's wife, okay?
Yeah, I just want to thank the Lord for everything that he is doing in our life. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to say, God bless the ones that the coronavirus had too. I read in the Bible that everything will not perish before its time. So God is an on-time God, and he is in control. Amen.
All right. Thanks, Keith. I have a couple of other anonymous ones. I have loved learning to read people's eyes. They can be very expressive. That is true. That is true. Well, it's time's up. So let me say a prayer for Mr. Ed's wife, and we will wrap up. Father, we thank you for life. Father, we would not have the breath to say thank you without you. And Father, we're so very grateful. And Lord, we're grateful for our health. And when it's not right, when we don't get to enjoy it fully, Father, help us be grateful for our health. And help us be grateful for what we go through and what we learn through the difficult times as well. Father, we pray for Mr. Ed's wife who's in the hospital. We pray for her healing. And we pray for her restoration. And Father, I just pray that as we wrap up this year and we enter this new year, that we will truly allow our attitude to be set to capture the winds of your grace, that we may enjoy the life that is truly life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.